Do you realize that any work of Jesus Christ involves a miracle? To believe in Jesus Christ, this is the very essence of Christian experience. To believe that He will do as He has promised to do, so far as we are concerned. Those of us who have the experience of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are believing in Him that He will do certain things that He has promised to do. Now, to be able to believe, that's a wonderful thing. There is such a thing as not being able to. And it's possible that some of you listening to me may actually feel in your hearts a certain inward inability that you simply cannot believe. You may not be strong enough in faith to believe. You may be so unprepared and unstrengthened, as it were, weak, that you have difficulty believing. Because in believing the promises of God that are in Christ Jesus, you need inwardly in your heart to expect that what God said He would do, He will do. And some of these things are miraculous in nature. To be able to believe Christ Jesus will work a miracle needs to be strengthened in anybody. I repeat, you're not born that way. Being able to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is not just being the kind of a person that's credulous, that you just believe anything. No, you realize all that's involved in the matter, and you know that the promise as it is made actually involves something being done that you can't fully understand. And yet, when you know that it is said that the Lord Jesus Christ will do it, it can be possible. You can be strengthened from within to believe that to be true, which, by the way, is the necessary condition for getting it done. Now, the Gospels record the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's one of the things that we can do. And if any one of you listening to me should have difficulty in believing about the Lord Jesus Christ, I would commend to you that you read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, believe me, read them. Just read those books over and over. You can leave out some of the long speeches. You can leave out anything that concerns anyone else. But be sure you read what Jesus Christ is doing and what He does in those four Gospels, because that was written for you in order that you would believe. And you will notice as you read it, you will see that the Lord Jesus worked miracles. You see, when you see the miracles which the Lord Jesus Christ did, which are recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this will help you to believe that He could do that kind of thing now, and may even help you to believe He would do that kind of thing now, which is, of course, true, but which, to become effective in you, needs to be believed. Now, the scripture passage we have today, because we're going to be reading in the Gospel of John in chapter 6, and we're going to look at the first 14 verses. And these first 14 verses in the Gospel of John in chapter 6, it's the account of a great miracle performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And this miracle is told in all the Gospels. There's no getting around it so far as the New Testament is concerned. Now let me just say right now that any attempt to explain away this miracle, to describe the whole thing or explain the whole thing in such a way that no miracle occurred, actually defeats the whole purpose and is contrary to the Gospel. This miracle is put in there just exactly as it is for you to see it, look at it, and let it talk to you, because this is what He can do. Apparently, at the very time it happened, this miracle we read about in John chapter 6, verses 1 to 14, this miracle that we read about in here was actually performed to affect the disciples. And we will notice it as we look at it now. If you'll open your Bibles, if you already have them open, in the Gospel of John in chapter 6, we're going to notice just how these things unfolded. And you will see, when you look at verse 3, that apparently the Lord Jesus withdrew from the crowd into comparative privacy with His disciples, doubtless in order to teach them. For we've read in verse 2, a great multitude followed Him because they saw his miracles which He did in them that were diseased. And this multitude would, of course, surround them in such a way that teaching would be almost impossible. So we read in verse 3, Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And that expression, sitting with his disciples, is like teaching. He sat down to teach them. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Now, we're not told what he talked about while he was sitting there. But I can't, in my own mind, I just have a feeling that whatever he was talking about, the coming of this large company of people to hear him gave him an opportunity to demonstrate something. And so when you have this feeding of the 5,000, you're to understand this was a chosen incident by our Lord Jesus Christ to teach something to his followers. So we see that he chose this natural situation to display the power that he had. Because whatever it was that he was teaching, I think this would enforce it, or would, shall I say, demonstrate it to them. And so we read in verse 5, he saith unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? He raises the question of feeding the 5,000. And in verse 6 we read, this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Proving means to test him. And he said this, made this remark to him. He said, how in the world will we ever feed these 5,000 people? Now we know in verse 6 that he knew what he would do. He knew, the Lord Jesus knew, he was going to surprise them before them. But he actually does this in this way, that they should notice it, and that he might demonstrate something to them. So, in verse 7 we read that Philip answered him, and made this comment, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. That suggests that that's about how much money they had. That's possible that that's about the funds that they had. And they said, well, if we spent all the money we had, we wouldn't have enough to feed them. Then one of the disciples in verse 8, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith to him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And I'm sure your attention's been drawn to the fact that these 5 barley loaves would be like, 5 oatmeal cakes, rather small bits of bread, and the 2 small fishes might very well have been like sardines, just something for his lunch. But what are they among so many? Now notice in verse 10, Jesus said, make the men sit down. And I often, when I look at that, I always marvel at the simplicity of it. He was about to do a great work, but you know, the first thing he did was introduce a little order into what was confusion and chaos. And these people were around, no matter where they were all just milling around, we'll say, and he was going to do something. Make the men sit down. And it says there was much grass in that place, which is a very nice, interesting thing, making it easy to provide for them sitting down. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Now in verse 11, we notice what was done. Jesus took the loaves. This is also important. Every part of this is important. He took them in his own hand, picked them up and took them. And when he had given thanks, and isn't this an interesting thing? Under these circumstances, he didn't omit this. He continued right through with this. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. So actually, you know, he had them arranged. He had these people sitting on the grass and had them arranged so they could be fed. And then he personally distributed the food to these waiters, these disciples who were acting like waiters, and they went out and fed the people. This is the way in which it goes. Now we're not through. In verse 12, when they were filled, when they had as much as they wanted and were filled, he saith unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. There's another very interesting item. He had just made all that fish, and he had made it, as it were, on his own. But now he asks them to gather it up so that nothing shall be lost. Although God is liberal and, shall I say, is able to do much more than we can ask or think, and is ready to do for us, it apparently belongs in the service of God that we should be careful in what we do, the way we handle the blessings that he gives to us. And he told them to gather up the fragments, that nothing be lost. And then in verse 13 comes this astonishing sort of thing, that when they gathered them together, they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And by no stretch of the imagination could you think that that was anything else but that there was more bread there then than there was at the start. And this is in the miracle. Now, don't try to get away from it. Let that stand right there before you. It may be worthwhile noticing, and you might notice in passing, that there's never any place, even though it was suggested by Satan that he turn the stones into bread, there's never any place in the Bible where there is a suggestion of anything quite like that, the turning of stones into bread. That wasn't done. But the turning of bread into more bread, that was done. Same was true with the fish. He took the fish and he made more fish. Now, he didn't take wood and make fish out of it, but he took the fish and made more fish. It's very interesting to see how this was actually carried out. And they had all this extra part that was left over, and this was remained over and above. I think that that would be part of the way of convincing the people that something actually had happened. Verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Now, that's why the incident was done then, and that's why it was reported. The incident was done, this whole demonstration was made, that their faith might be strengthened. And it's reported here for us that our faith might be strengthened. It is seeing the miracle performed that generates faith. And that is true all the way through in spiritual experience, and would be true right down even in our day and time, would be true for us. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to recognize the great wonders which thou dost work on our behalf round about us, and keep us conscious of what thou hast done, that our faith might grow. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.